Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished and senior professional who's also an entrepreneur from India, Mr. N.T. Arun Kumar. Arun, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Arun is the member of board of directors and a strategic advisor. He specializes in digital transformation, new technologies, and the future skills of India. He's the former chairman and managing director India of Telstra, managing director of UBS India, and he serves on several boards. So, Arun, before we start talking of digital transformation, I know you were mentioned that you were also in ITC and therefore a former colleague. Tell me in brief your own journey.
Yeah, look, I'm a mathematics graduate, very passionate about mathematics still, and work numbers, work on computers. Post my mathematics graduation, I joined XLRA Jamshedpur. And a fascination for people, all things people started right there in XLRA, known for its personnel management course. Started my career with ITC as a business analyst in the newly formed computer division, which now is a separate company, ITC Infotech, over the years. And then moved to Citibank, spent many years in Citibank in the consumer bank doing different roles, all in technology. Had a great stint with PepsiCo as the general manager of IT for the South Asia bottling unit. And then rejoined Citi, spent several years in Citi again in different parts of the world, mainly looking at how technology can accelerate. It wasn't called digital transformation back then, but how technology can accelerate innovation for customer innovation and markets across various business division, various geographies. Citi has been a great, great learning ground for me. Not just in terms of technology, but in terms of how to be an intrapreneur, how to take risks, how to just think for the customer and do what's best for the organization. And a truly empowered organization. I then had a stint with Dun & Bradstreet. I joined them as a CTO for a very large geography outside of the US, just predominantly Africa, Asia, Middle East. And then became the CEO of a newly formed company that DNB invested in, which was one of the early companies to be a mainstream third-party analytics and risk company. So I was the CEO for that, successfully did several joint ventures, took them to market. And joined UBS, where, in investment banking, moved on to group operation, did several roles. Again, UBS was a great learning experience in terms of teaching me how to deal with multiple cultures and still win and get them to work together. And also, it got me out of my comfort zone of just technology, truly general management, looking at leading large scale people organization, operations organization. Managing vendors and partners across the world and turning that into a value proposition for the bank. And then, of course, I had a interesting but brief a year stint with the government on Digital India. I worked for the Chandrababu Naidu government, was the CEO for an initiative called the FinTech Valley, which was to kind of look at public-private partnership and invite investments into FinTech, both in education as well as commercial ventures in Andhra Pradesh, which was they called it the startup state, very rightly so. Very exciting. And my last stint, executive stint, was with Telstra. Built Telstra's first ever outside Australia and first ever innovation center in India. So global innovation center. It started with one center in Bangalore, but quickly developed into three centers. And in the 3.5 years I was there, grew the organization from almost zero to 2,000 plus. Supporting various types of innovative technologies, emerging technology work, operations, customer service work. So great stint. And I left Telstra end of, it's been 12 months since I left my last executive job. And in the last 12 months, I've been focused on board roles. Personally, wanted to transition from just doing to getting people to do, to influencing, to coaching and mentoring. I felt that is my calling. To help people realize their best potential. And so I've been doing that. I've been on the board of a few companies. I've also invested in two companies, one in FinTech and another in AgriTech, both of them doing pretty well. And I get a lot of time now to think about technology and how it can impact rural customers, rural businesses, inclusion, And I also spend a lot of time, especially with a particular company on whose board I am and have invested in, which is into HR and staffing, into how do you create a mass, hyperscaled skill base in India for the new digital economy? And how do you then verticalize that for different new industries emerging in this country? For instance, you know, how do you create hundreds of thousands of skilled workers for electric vehicles and battery manufacturers? Yeah.
So, right? So we'll come to some of those, but let's talk a little bit about digital transformation. You know, and you've done a lot of work and you specialize in digital transformation. So my first question to you, Arun, is that it is said change plus growth equals transformation. What is your perspective?
You know, I have a slightly, it's of course right that in order to transform, you not only have to change, but also grow. You have to be better than before. The improvement, the innate difference that you make to your stakeholders. So absolutely right decision, definition, but there is slightly a bit more. And there are two perspectives that I have. One is, we've seen, you know, one of the earliest management books I read in the 80s growing up in college was Good to Great, right? And if you look at all those companies that were mentioned in Good to Great, none of them exist today as great companies, right? Because I think if you look at change and growth leading to transformation, there's one thing that's very, very important, because by the time you change, change itself has changed, right? And by the time you have grown, the definition of growth keeps changing in the market for your stakeholders, for your customers, for your employees. So I think there is an extra element to that change plus growth, which is sustainability. And I'm not just talking about ESG sustainability. I'm talking about after you've changed and grown and improved and transformed, how do you make sure that the formula that you used to do that continues to strengthen and you continue to change and grow? Because you see, change and growth is not a destination. It is a journey. Right. And what makes that journey lead to meaningful milestone, especially in a digital world, is sustainability. That, okay, so you've changed, you've transformed from X to Y. But in that transformation, have you created the capability that will take you from Y to Z? Right. So constantly creating this new capability and unlearning the old capability is a very, very important part of change plus growth. So that's the other aspect that I would add. And I think a lot of companies that are on the path to greatness sometimes miss that. They miss that either because of complacency, because, you know, they've credibly and rightfully so achieved a great deal of things. But what they miss out is that the market is ruthless, right? Technology is relentless. And what happens in this ruthless plus relentless combination is that what got you here is not going to get you there. Right? So you may have been great yesterday, but you're no longer great today because you're not investing in that new capabilities and unlearning what got you here to go there, right? So that is my, and I see that happening in every company that I'm involved in. And my addition to the strategic initiatives happening in these companies and the execution capabilities they're building is just this, that, hey, as you're changing, are you making sure that the next change is not as painful as the last? Have you adopted technology in a way that's become a natural part of your DNA, right? Digital is not a virtue anymore. It is hygiene, right? So have you made digital hygiene in your day-to-day operation, in the way you think, in the way your people think, in the way you think about, right? And I think that's an important part of this digital transformation.
So when you talk of digital transformation, can you, in brief, talk a little bit about the kind of work that you're doing, and without naming organizations, but what kind of work are you doing?
Yeah, very eclectic, and I've been very fortunate, especially in the last 12 months, to deal with a range of business contexts, range of markets. But the underlying theme has been the same. Some of physical business model. What does digital model mean to us? Is it just an app and reaching out to our customers digitally? Or is it much more deeper than that? And I think answering these questions and taking the companies through that journey has been incredibly challenging and exciting, right? For instance, you know, I work with one of the largest rural finance companies in India. And what this company is attempting to do is to redefine what financial inclusion means, right? For years, for decades in this country, financial inclusion meant high interest rate, high risk, low ticket size, micro lending, right? No longer. This is the company that I'm on the board of and been involved with for the last 4 years and done help them do mergers and acquisitions, ingest the right kind of technology companies into their mix. This company looks at inclusion very differently, right? For them, inclusion means not just, lending to a needy person, but to make sure that person's ability to kind of not coming back to you for another loan is developed inherently, right? So the demographics that we go after in this financial inclusion, financial technology space is aided by digital technologies. And these technologies actually help understand not just the livelihood needs of the borrower, but the entire lifestyle needs of the borrower. And we we kind of configure data, technology, process, customer journey together to make sure that we have a very, very deep understanding of not just the person's present needs, but also the future evolution, right? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this has taken time. But once it took time, the compounding effect of it, of this technology plus data approach, has been phenomenal value add to the company, right? Mm-hmm. But what has been challenging is to kind of include the customers in your journey, right? Many companies forget to do that because they're so obsessed with technology to change the process that they forget that they're all doing this only for the customer. And unless and until you start with the customer, work backwards and then work, integrate customers into this flow, it's going to be very, very rich. So that's one. The other industry that I've been involved with is HR staffing skills. And I think it's very fascinating because given the sudden growth and great growth of digital public infrastructure in this country, right, it has created and is continuing to create rapidly a very new ecosystem of suppliers, partners, the markets in India, right? It's in every industry, both traditional industry as well as new industry. And given that, the skills profile of people, especially those in the productive age of employment, is changing dramatically. So there are two big needs that are emerging. One is, you got to reskill people, traditional workers, to make them more productive, to embrace technology. Second is you got to teach new skills in a new way to newly entering workforce, right? How do you do that? And while doing that, how do you make sure that this supply chain is configured so efficiently that the new industries, which can't have enough of these skills, can get seamless access to that? So we're building a platform for that. This company has grown rapidly, is readying for an IPO. And it's been done by a bunch of people who have expertise in this, have commercially done this before. And the company has been growing at a CAGR of 25% plus last 2 years. It's a 5-year-old company, and we hope to come. So that's in the HR skill space. I'm involved with a very large family conglomerate, one of the largest in this country, that's focused on multiple businesses, airlines, renewable energy, consumers, building a Walmart kind of small chain stores for rural India. And the technology play, data play, and the the whole industry 4.0 coming together and such is very, very fascinating. So the last 12 months have actually got me immersed very deeply into the potential of digital economy in this country and how digital can transform not just companies, commercial businesses, but the society itself. And it's been very, very humbling experience.
Thank you. My next question to you is that, and I'd like to stay with transformation, because that's an area that we thought we'll talk about. Most people don't like transformation. Business leaders like status quo, maybe even status quo ante. How do you work with business leaders and talk about transformation?
Great question. I think one of the biggest challenges that I've faced in my career, and I'm sure a lot of people will resonate with this, is not a direct rebellion against change, but more a passive resistance. Everybody says they want to change, but they will do everything not to change. How do you understand those undercurrents and change that? So obviously, and I've always felt that when you're working on, and I've been an IT tech guy, working on change the business projects for a very, very long time. I always believe that internal selling is almost always more difficult than external selling, right? We always listen to an external guy who comes and sells us a fancy technology or a product and says, yeah, that's good because so-and-so is doing it. But when you do it internally, it's very difficult because of the passive resistance. Two things have helped me in my learnings, and I'm still learning them. So I'm not talking as an expert, but definitely as someone who's seen this inside out and outside in. One is that a lot of big programs fail because they want to do big things in a big way. And I think big programs are fine, big visions are fine, big strategies fine, but you got to do big things in a small way. So the ability for a leader to break down a big program, a big problem, into small chunks and address each of those small chunks very differently with different audience within the organization is of absolute, is an absolute critical skill. I find that 9 out of 10 leaders that I deal with and coach, etc., lack that, right? They think that articulating a vision, having a strategy, endorse, do meetings, offsite, you know, everybody buy in, gets it done, but it doesn't, right? Because, you know, history, a big student of history has proven to us that unless the elephant is sliced, you can't really eat it, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to learn the art of breaking problems into very, very small ones, address individual audiences, work on those, solving those problems, build that credibility. Because credibility is not built in a big bang. Credibility is built in a series of day-to-day stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think a leader must be aware of that. And that is the greatest persuasion that you can have. The second one, I think many organizations are reluctant to do is experiment, right? Now, there are lots of debates, lots of conversations about a big change, right? It's either a 0 or a 1 at the end of that debate, right? Nobody says, let's do 0.01 and see where this goes, right? And if 0.01 is successful, let's do 0.02. Or if 0.01 is unsuccessful, let's do 0.01A, right? So I think the art of experimentation, and it's related to the first point I said, and you can't do experimentation unless you've broken down the big program into small problems, right? Experimenting and showing and not just telling. A lot of leaders rely on telling, right? Big vision statements, big posters, big offsites, big workshops. They're great. Yeah, you need to do that. Dialogues, conversations are important. But I think experimentation is probably the most important element that I've experienced in terms of saying it can be done. If it can be done small, it can be done slightly bigger, and then the big bang, right? What experimentation also does is change the culture of the organization in a very systematic and digestible way, right? You're not going and telling a bunch of people, 10,000 people, you got to change from tomorrow. Or when we implement SAP in this company, everything will change in 8 months, right? What you're telling them is on an everyday basis, things will change. They will either improve or not improve. And you have the ability to come and show us the mirror saying, hey, you did this yesterday and it hasn't borne fruit. Or you did this yesterday, I'm happy, now I believe you, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's important, but it's very hard. It's very hard because, you know, as a leader, you need to have tremendous conviction. A lot of leaders in digital transformation that I see are driven by expertise, not necessarily by people skills, persuasion skills. And I think that's one of the big things that we miss out on digital transformation, that it requires probably more human-centric leadership than technology-centric leadership. Because digital transformation at the end of the day is a culture change. It's not just a tech change.
Okay. So I'm going to now move, I don't have too much time left, but I'm going to now move to your being an independent director. I've got time for one or two questions for you being on as an independent director. You're on the board of several companies. What do you look for before you accept a board position?
First is try and understand its culture. How much appetite there is to want to change? What's the hunger? Right? Is there a pressure to change because, you know, the numbers are bad, or you're lining up for an IPO, or you just want to kind of grow because your shareholders and stakeholders are telling you to? Or is there a genuine passion to make a difference? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to improve here. The second is honesty and transparency. In my conversations before I accept a role, our executives, our other board members, honest about what they're not doing currently, where their weaknesses lie, without being emotional about it, without being defensive.
How do you find out about that?
Lots of questions and lots of conversation. So I don't accept a board role unless I've spoken to all the board members. Mm-hmm. And a couple of, at least 2 or 3, the HR leader, the CEO, and the CFO. Mm-hmm. If possible more. In my case, it's the CTO and the tech guys. But in most boards that I've gone into, they've got me in because they wanted to change technology. They wanted to bring in new CTOs, etc. So definitely a lot of deep conversations. The third thing that those are two to-dos. Not to-dos are or don'ts are really about, I don't want a once in a quarter attend the board meeting, sign documents, compliance role. So all my board roles have a good, additional element and a mission. Hey, transform tech team. So, sure, you attend the meetings, you're in the committees every quarter, but here's something that we want you to do. Here's a free access to the CEO and the CTO, and this is what we want you to help them with. So there is a coaching element involved. There is an involvement in their change journey instead of just sitting at the board and reviewing. So there is an element. And I think I felt that that's very important for me because it's still early days since I have taken off my executive hat. And I do have a tendency to kind of get very hands-on, something that I'm unlearning. And to be detached. So it works both ways. So, those are some of the things that I look at.
And my last question to you, Arun, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey as a corporate leader for so many years, what would you say are three lessons you want our viewers and listeners to take away from your journey?
What has worked for me? Three things, if you ask, since you said three things, let me list those three things, not in any particular order, but definitely top of my mind and heart, what has worked for me. One is authenticity. I think be who you are and be authentic to yourself, be true to yourself, right? And when I say authenticity, it obviously includes elements of integrity, sincerity, all the traits that actually make you a good leader, right? Mm-hmm. So that's definitely one. The second one is, I think, if we have started out as employees, not as we don't come from, I definitely didn't come from an entrepreneurial background. I didn't know much about what is it to do your own business. I think one of the things that you need to invest every day to learn mm-hmm. is how to take risks. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very important element, whether you start your own business or not, even if you're a retired person, you need to know, learn how to take risks, right? And a lot of people miss out on this. And there is a lot of baggage that we carry because of our background, our birth, our demography, whatever it is, that we all have very different view of what risk is and how to approach it, right? So it's something that you need to learn. The third thing that I would say is, I mentioned it earlier, is be courageous to experiment. If you believe in something, you have a conviction, don't wait to get the full free, big ticket to go and do it. Citibank taught me that if you think something is right, it's right for the customer, right for the company, go do it, right? Nobody's going to empower you. You've got to empower yourself. So to be able to do that, think of empowerment as something that comes from within you out of your own conviction and don't be afraid to experiment with your words, with your thoughts and meetings, with your relationships, and with the work, with the projects and the product services, right? So experimentation is very, very keen. The ability to do that and to learn from that is extremely important for growth as a person, not just as a leader.
Wonderful. And on that note, Arun, and your three amazing lessons, which are authenticity, be who you are. Second, you said was learn how to take risks. And third one is don't hesitate to experiment. Thank you so much for talking to me about your own journey, about all the things that you have done in so many different areas, ranging from technology to banking to general management. Thank you also for talking to me about transformation, digital transformation, and about what you look for when you decide to take a board position. Thank you again and good luck to you.
Pleasure. Nice talking to you, Ashutosh. And thank you for having me. It was a privilege speaking with you and through you to your audience.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.